You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight. I have what I hope to be a great show lined up for you, but if you have an experience of your very own, please go ahead and write us an email at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. And if you'd like to either just write out your experience for me to read, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, let us know. But we're looking forward to seeing those emails, but I hope you guys are ready, because today we're welcoming Robert to our show, who has had a whole slew of pretty incredible experiences. So I hope you guys are ready, because this one's going to be great. Everybody, welcome to the show. And today's guest is a gentleman that reached out to the portal and said he's got a story to tell. And he and I have touched base. And after we were able to tame our schedules and figure out what time we could connect, I was absolutely thrilled to get today's guest on the show. I'd like to welcome Robert to the show, who is going to explain to us his journey and experiences with the paranormal. Robert, welcome to the show, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. Like I was saying to you before, I grew up here in the, small towns north of Indy here in Indiana, around the Pendleton, LaPel, Anderson area, if we have any, Hoosiers listening. I moved to Noblesville, when I was about, 19, 20 years old, and we stayed there for a little bit, and nothing really happened up until I was about probably 22, until we moved into this new home here in LaPel. Basically it's a stretch of duplexes, out in the country. There's like six or seven duplexes all in a row. But basically when we were seeing a sign for rent out there, we were told that there was like a murder that happened there. It's very unfortunate. It was a mother and a daughter. Wow. Gentleman came in there and asked to use the phone, and you can, kind of use your imagination to guess what happened next. But essentially it was a brutal murder. Mm-hmm. And my wife found out about it, and she's like, well, you're going to find out which duplex that was. And I'm like, before we even think about renting there, mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that makes sense. I wouldn't feel comfortable living there either.
Sure.
So we did our investigation, and sure enough, we found one that wasn't that duplex. So luckily we were able to move from, our home or our apartment in Noblesville, moved to LaPel, and everything was going fine. Now, in my opinion, I'm not sure exactly. I don't think our house is haunted. I think, or the duplex that I'm in right now is haunted. I think the area is just filled with bad energy. And in general, there's just hauntings there. I'm not sure if it's from the little girl and the mother. I don't know. But essentially, we deal with, you know, I'd be in the bathroom taking a shower or something, and I hear knocking on the door. Mm-hmm. And I would get out, and I'd go up to my wife, my two kids. I'm like, was it something important? Did you need me for something? And they'd be like, what are you even talking about? I'm like, you're just knocking on the door. They're like, no. Okay. That's fine. Okay. And so little things like that would happen. I'd hear pitter patter, you know, running through the house. Mm-hmm. My wife would think she'd see my daughter out of the corner of her eye. My youngest is 5, and we always thought she was getting out of bed. And we'd go out there, and no one would be out there. One night, my nephew was sleeping on the couch, and I heard what I thought would be my daughter getting up and running around in the kitchen. And I walk in there, and my nephew's asleep on the couch. I go in the kitchen, nobody's in there. I come back through and look at my kids' bedroom, and my two daughters are both sound asleep. I'm like, well, that was weird.
Yeah.
I wake up the next morning, and my nephew's like, Paisley kept me up all night. And I'm just like, what do you mean? He's like, she kept running in and out of the kitchen. I'm like, huh, okay. Well, we'll chalk that up as I chalked all that up into, you know, maybe it can be explained. Mm-hmm. And then what really kind of ramped things up is we were out with my wife, and like I said, in between the two duplexes is two garages because we're both connected. Mm-hmm. And we were with the neighbors in there playing darts.
Okay.
And my wife and the lady next door, me and her husband were in the garage, and they're like, well, we're going to take a ride on the riding lawnmower. And I'm like, whatever floats your boat, you know, go do what you do. And they were kind of, you know, drinking a little bit. So they rode around the yard, and they came back like, you know, 5 minutes later screaming, saying, we just ran into a woman back there. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, my wife was like freaking out. She's like, she was in just a towel, and she was walking across behind our house is a farm. So basically a farmland, just corn or beans or whatever they have for the season. Sure. Uh-huh. And she's like, she was just walking across the line there. And she looked up at us as we waved, and she put her head back down. And she just kept walking. And at that time, the lawnmower died, and we couldn't get to start. And I'm like, well, it's weird. So we all went back there with our flashlights, and, you know, we're looking for a lady. I'm like, I chalked it up as, well, you've been drinking, so whatever.
Sure.
You know. Anyway, we finally, the day comes when my kids are at a babysitter's house, and it's just my wife and me at home. We had a night out. We woke up that next morning, and I'll tell you right now, my nickname is Chip. I go by Chip. I don't go by Robert. I go by Chip. That's what everybody knows. And we were laying there, and I was getting ready to get dressed, and we were about to go get my kids. And I heard someone yell, Chip. Mm-hmm. Clear as day. Looked at my wife. I go, she's like, someone here? And I'm like, I don't know, but I just heard my name called. And I looked out the window. No one's in the driveway. Mm-hmm. And I look in the living room. The door's not open. And I'm just like, you sure my name was called? And she's like, yeah, your name was called. Wow. I called the babysitter, and they're like, I'm like, did you just come to my house by chance? And she's like, no, I was waiting for you to come get the kids. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. We did our own research, and I dove back into the subject of the murders. And sure enough, the weirdest thing is her husband's nickname is Chip.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wow. That's freaky, huh?
Yeah. So at that point, I'm just like, okay, there could be a connection. Well, that's not the only thing that kind of happened weird at that house that I'm at now. I kind of, like I said, all the little things, they don't frighten me.
Sure.
Even my name being called didn't frighten me. I look at it as they're, you know, wandering spirits, what have you.
Okay.
The thing that freaked me out the most at this house, and this happened about 2-3 years ago, it was the weekend of the 4th of July. My sister-in-law, and you can actually look this up, in Anderson, Indiana, there is a restaurant where a man passed away, and now they say that that restaurant is super haunted. Oh, okay. They've actually torn it down and made it into something else because people couldn't work there. They didn't want to go in there to eat. Mm-hmm. And my sister-in-law, it was her brother. And I never knew that, but I had known about the haunting because, you know, when I was a teenager, I'd look up, you know, hauntings in Indiana, and sure enough, it'd be on there. And she was like, yeah, that's actually my brother. And I'm like, that's weird.
The person that died was the brother.
The person that died was her brother. It's my brother's, my brother's wife, her brother died there.
Okay.
And she says it's him that's haunting the place. I'm like, well, that's interesting. You know, it's kind of cool. I mean, it's not cool that he died there, but it's, cool that you're, you know, it's part of, now it's part of history.
Right.
But, anyway, she, and my wife said they were going to Walmart, and I'm like, whatever. So this is the weekend of the 4th. Mm-hmm. And brother and his wife were staying the night with us, and they came back and they were, you know, kind of like giddy, like, we just went there to see if we could get, you know, my brother or whatever to kind of interact with us. We were pounding on the windows of the restaurant and all this and that. I'm just like, that's just not smart. I said, please don't do that ever again.
Yeah.
I just appreciate if you would not do that. I'm like, cause you don't mess with spirits like that. You just, right. You don't. Yeah. And well, the next day it was the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And we had went out with our family and we came back home. Me, my wife, and my youngest daughter, my oldest daughter, stayed in the town where they were doing fireworks. We came home early. I'm not sure why, but we came home early. Mm-hmm. And I came home and one of the pictures was off the wall. And I'm like, okay, I'll fix that. So I go and I put the picture back up on the wall on the nail. And I turn my back and it fell again. And ooh. I'm like, okay, we'll do this again. So I put it back up there. Turn my back, fall down again. Oh, at this point, my wife is like, nope, not dealing with this. And she went to the, you know, I was also, you know, hammering in the nail better and all this and that. And she grabbed the hammer and she's like, I'm going to the bedroom, my daughter, and you fix that problem. And I'm like, all right. So I went out to the garage. You know, I left the painting or the pictures, you know, sitting in the living room while I went to go get some more nails to kind of fix the problem. I just figured it wasn't in the stud. I'm like, maybe it just keeps falling off the wall. I don't know.
Sure.
So I grabbed another nail. And while I was out in the garage, you know, my wife was in our bedroom with a hammer and my little girl at the time. Mm-hmm. And I come inside and I'm like, the picture's gone. I'm like, where's the picture? And I go and I look into I can see into my daughter's room. It's leaning against her bed.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, I yelled at my wife. I'm like, why'd you move the picture into the kids' room? And she come out with a hammer in her hand. She's like, I never touched that picture. And I'm like, I'm like, well, it's leaning against their bed. I said, I don't know how it got in there. I'm not hanging it up. I said, I don't know what's going on. At this point, we're kind of like, I mean, I kind of had an idea. I'm just like, that entity or spirit has to be messing with us now.
Right.
And I could be wrong. That's just how I chalk it up. And I go and I'm like, we're going to go out of this house. And then, you know, I'm going to get you guys out and I'll come in and I'll basically say, you're not welcome here. So mm-hmm. on and so forth.
Right.
So I get my daughter in the car and I get me and my wife are about to head out. And as I'm going into the kitchen, I'm, you know, kind of getting everything we need. And I turn my back, a picture flies off the wall.
Oh,
towards me.
Oh no.
And I'm like, my wife starts booking it. And as I go to flip off the light, to the right of the light switch is another picture. As soon as I hit that light, that picture flew past my head to my right.
Oh man.
Off the wall. And I ran out of the house, got my kid in the car. And like I said, at that point, I told the entity or whatever it was not welcome there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was straight poltergeist activity. Right. And I've never witnessed that before mm-hmm. to that extreme. True. I mean, I've witnessed some activity with ghosts at my dad's old farmhouse, and I can get into that as well.
Sure.
But that to me was probably the most terrifying thing I have had to deal with at this house. But ever since, you know, like I said, we still hear the pitter patter. We still hear, you know, knocking occasionally. Mm-hmm. We sometimes, my wife will still see a little girl out of her corner of her eye sometimes.
Wow.
And that don't bother us.
Sure.
You know, the only thing ever bothered us was that instance with the pictures flying off the wall. And like I said, the only way I could look at it and say is, you went there, you tried to intimidate a spirit who they've already noted. And there are instances and witnesses stating testimonial saying that this guy is, you know, he slams doors. He, you know, at the restaurant, he's not, you know, he tries to scare you.
Right.
And
wow.
So, I mean, that's just where I'm at with it.
So can I ask you a question about the picture that never stayed up on the wall that you tried to remount several times? Was there anything significant about what the picture was depicting?
It was just an Indian. It was a Native American walking a horse through a field. That's what the picture was. I mean, really, I couldn't see anything significant. I mean, my mom used to hang, they were the same pictures I've had. They've been in our family for a while. They were like, you know, home interior pictures my mom handed down to me.
Okay.
I mean, but there's nothing really significant I would say about them other than, you know, it just didn't want to stay on the wall. I mean, I don't know.
Well, the reason that I'm asking is that, you know, sometimes things like that can be extraordinarily significant in that it may give you a window into, you know, perhaps what's going on or what, because I think that spirits try to communicate with us, but they can only do it mostly through symbology. And so that's why I'm asking about that picture. Was what did it depict? Maybe something you know or don't know, but was there any conflict with the Native Americans back in the day on that land as well? And that could maybe point to what kind of entity was bothering you. Maybe it wasn't from the restaurant. Maybe it was just something that decided to show up at that time from that Native American era of the land.
Well, I mean, I can give you a story, actually, of Pendleton is actually famous for, kind of infamous, I guess, for this.
Okay.
There, the surrounding town, there was a group of white men who actually went in and murdered Native Americans.
Oh, my God.
And this was actually one of the first times in America where white men were tried and hung for killing Native Americans.
Wow. That may be really, really significant to what you were experiencing.
That happened over in Falls Park, which is only about 5 to 10 miles from my house. Oh. And we went out there when we were younger, ghost hunting, trying to mess with those. when we were younger, I used to try to provoke those white men. And, sure. You know, maybe that could be, you know, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
But that is actually, you know, a historical fact that happened here in Pendleton.
Yeah, that would certainly corroborate with what was being knocked off the wall. Like, you know, if it was perhaps the spirit of one of those white guys that was tried and convicted, that it was mad because you being, I'm only assuming, I have no idea of your nationality, but I assume that you're probably a Caucasian male and you're hanging up the glorification of the things that these guys, for whatever reason, despised. And, you know, I mean, it's a bunch of hatred and sadness, but unfortunately, a lot of these earthbound spirits don't ever get past those problems they had in life.
It's like I said, it's very, that's very interesting because I never put two and two together. Honestly, I'm glad you even asked that question because, like I said, that is something that I've always, when we were younger, we used to go there to provoke them because obviously, you know, it was kind of a bad taste in our mouth for us to be from Pendleton because that's where I grew up, and then you know that's what we're famous for is, you know, that's where white people were hung for killing Native Americans, and it's just like it's
so tragic.
But
well, that's cool. Okay, so but that is a profound energy that was exhibited in that display. That's just incredible.
Yeah, like I said, it was not definitely something that caught my eye, and I, you know, from that moment forward, you know. If my buddy would still call me up sometimes, well, go ghost hunting? Like, nope, I don't. I sure don't. Like, and I can tell you more about Falls Park. My sister went out there one time, and in the fall, behind the falls, there are some trails, mm-hmm. and it's like you know, it's heavily wooded. You know, you can go back there and walk the trails. They're not like, you know, cemented or anything. They're nice nature trails. Mm-hmm. And you can go back there and it's a couple miles worth of trails. And my sister went out there when she's probably about 13 or 14, somewhere around there with her friends. And she came out of there and she told me about it, that she had seen some kind of winged creature. And whenever it passed over, it went into a tree and she just seen glowing red eyes. She ran out of there. And I'm like, what were you smoking? Because I knew my sister at the time. I'm just like, okay, whatever. Sure. And a couple of years later, me and my buddy, my wife was with us and her brother, but they were down by the car. We were out by the cemetery. In that cemetery, basically, it's the same trails. Like, the trails are behind, the woods and everything are behind the cemetery. So basically, you got Falls Park, and then up a little bit further, you got the grave sites, and then basically, you got a whole mess of woods behind it. Mm-hmm. And we were out there, you know, doing our whatever you want to call it, ghost hunting, you know, just being
sure,
yeah, you know, immature or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were about to pack it up, and I just, you know, we were about to head out, and I just hear this devilish scream. It came kind of from the woods, and my buddy heard it. And I looked at him. I go, it's time to go, and we're getting out of here. Mm-hmm. I talked to my sister recently, and I was, you know, bringing up what she's seen.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, it screamed at us with a devilish scream. And I seen the red eyes, and I'm like, you never told me about the scream.
Yeah.
And I played her a clip of what I heard. Now, it was a video on YouTube. It was supposedly a skinwalker.
Okay.
I don't know. And I'm not saying that's what it was. It could have been a Sasquatch for all I know. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But it sounded similar. And I played that clip for her, and her eyes lit up. And like I said, I don't know if it was demonic. I don't know if it was a cryptid. I know that my mother told me not to go back there at night because, mm-hmm. and she's from this area. She grew up here since the, you know, the 50s and 60s. Okay. And she told me that they did witchcraft back there.
Ooh.
And I just always assume, like, I'm like, you know, they might just open a portal. And if you don't shut it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, yeah. But I don't like going out in those woods at night. I'll tell you that.
Wow.
And that's the thing. Like, I can't get any of these stories out of Pendleton because no one wants to come forward and tell them. Like, my sister has told me about what she's seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, my buddy, you know, he won't talk about what happened that night. That me and him heard that, you know, he won't bring it up. You know, I've tried bringing it up in conversation. I sent him that YouTube clip. He's like, that's exactly what I heard, but I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go back out there. And I'm like, well, I don't blame you because I don't want to either. Because, you know, once you have kids, like you don't even want to take a chance on something getting attached to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, that, and that's just me. And also just my Christian beliefs. It says in the Bible not to do that stuff. And I agree with it. I'm not opposed to talking about it because mm-hmm. I think talking is therapy. I mean, this is perfect for me because I don't get these reactions whenever I tell these stories.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I'll talk to my mom about them and she'll just give me that, you know, raised eyebrow look like, mm-hmm, okay. And I'm just like, no, I really want to talk to you about this. And she's like, okay. You know, I get that from just about everybody out here. But I think there's a lot more going on in this part of, you know, this town, and they want people to really want to give it credit for. And
yeah. Well, I think it also serves as a cautionary tale too. I mean, you know, to know the history, to know when you're poking the bear, what you might be in store for. You know, I think that a lot of people, especially now, there's such a trend behind paranormal investigating, ghost hunting and stuff. And it seems like the funnest, newest thing to do, but I think that there's a real gravity to it that a lot of people don't consider. It's like, we're going to go out, we're going to see a ghost, and we'll come home and, you know, maybe get a pizza. You know, they don't consider that they might be bringing something home with them and all the problems that could develop because of it. So I think that your experiences are really important just to kind of carry that torch and pass it on to other people.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I honestly, if you want to do it, more power to you. But, you know, be aware of what you're getting yourself into, because, you know, I sure as heck, you know, don't want to sit here and poke fun at these, you know, the white men, or if that is what, you know, possibly came back to my house, or, sure, you know, the gentleman in the restaurant, Anderson, you know, yeah, they can follow you. And I can tell you other stories about, you know, what I've seen, because I've mentioned my dad rented a farmhouse, mm-hmm, out in Elwood, Indiana. And I used to love that house. You know, it freaked me out. And what farmhouse dome? That's old. But, you know, we would constantly go out there, you know, on the weekends and have a lot of fun out there. And one night it was Halloween time. Mm-hmm. And because my dad had streamers hanging up on a doorway, leading to another, we were in a living room, and to the side of that living room was like another little family area.
Okay.
And me and my dad were sitting across from each other. He was on one wall, I was on another wall. And to my left was the entryway to that other room. And there's two streamers. There was a streamer on the left side of the, you know, doorway, and a streamer on the right side of the doorway. And I'll just get this out there. There was no windows open, no reason, you know, but the streamer on the left side, about 4 feet up, come flying at me.
Oh.
Like someone had run through it.
Uh-huh.
And my dad just looks at me, and I looked at him. I want to make sure he's seen what I seen. Yeah. Because that right there was my first actual, I would say, full on experience with a ghost or spirit or whatever you want to call it. And from that point on, now we were testing the waters, you know, because I was like 16 at the time. So then we went upstairs, because my grandma, she would always sleep in this one room, and whenever she came to stay, and she said she heard him in the walls.
Ooh.
And we went up to that room, and it was me and my sister's boyfriend and my sister. And we were like, if you're in these walls, show yourself, knock.
Mm-hmm.
Waited and waited, nothing. We're like, just knock 3 times. That's all you gotta do. And we waited and we waited. And all of a sudden my sister's boyfriend's like, excuse my language, he's like, these ghosts are a bunch of pussies. And all of a sudden we hear douche, douche, douche.
No.
I'll tell you what, we were upstairs. I don't know how I even got down the stairs without tripping down, because that was the scariest thing.
Yeah.
I've learned you just don't provoke them.
Right. Yeah. All right, guys, this is probably a great place for us to take a break. So don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back, and we'll return with Robert and more of his incredible experiences here on the Paranormal Portal. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here, the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Guys, we're back from the break. I'm glad you made it. And we are going to continue here with Robert as our guest on the show, and see what else we can get into and hear more about the incredible experiences he's had in his lifetime.
You know, I learned the hard way after numerous times doing it. But, you know, at this point, like I said, once you have kids, it just...
It changes the game, doesn't it? Because you go into a more protective mode, like suddenly... You feel like you're the barrier. You're the defense against the world to these little gentle souls that we have. I'm a parent as well, so I completely understand. And, you know, I get it that you just don't want to jeopardize anything with them.
Yeah. And my daughters have said that they've seen stuff. I mean, I remember back, and we can go back to that apartment I had in Noblesville before I had this apartment. Mm-hmm. That apartment actually caught fire about 10 or 20 years ago.
Okay.
And a mother and a son died.
Oh, no.
It was an apartment right across from ours. I obviously wasn't living there when it happened, but we moved in about 10 or 20 years later after it happened. And the apartment that where they passed away was the one right across from ours. And my daughter, she was about two at the time, two or three. Mm-hmm. And she'd be in her room playing and she'd be talking to somebody. And we were like, who are you talking to? And she's like, a little boy. And we're like, what's his name? Jacob. And lo and behold, what was the little boy's name? Jacob.
Wow. That's powerful.
So like stuff like that has happened with us for the longest time. And, you know, like I said, they've just been, you know, little tidbits here and there. And then once once I ramped up at our apartment now, where, you know, we have pictures flying off the walls, like,
yeah,
I mean, and things, like I said, have calmed down. I mean, I've learned just to be more protective. I learned to get, use in Jesus' name, you know, all mm-hmm. Prayer is a powerful thing, especially absolutely. When it comes to spirits. You know, they mm-hmm. they do not, you know, they will listen to, you know, the word Jesus Christ, and they will listen,
yeah.
Especially if you mean it. And like I said, you know, we still get the pitter patter, we still get the knocking, we still get, you know, little glimpses out of the corner of our eye. But
yeah. Robert, let me ask you, after you did make that declaration, like, you can't be here anymore, you're not allowed here. Did that activity stop then, or did it continue, or what did you end up doing eventually?
I mean, every time like I said, it's gone down.
Okay.
Like I said, my wife just recently said she thought she saw somebody at the corner of her eye, and she thought it was my daughter.
Okay.
And, you know, every time something like that happens, you know, I'll pray. You know, I'll make sure, you know, I go to their room and I pray, and, you know, I go to, you know, the kitchen and pray, you know, our room and pray. And just, like I said, things have really gone down. We've never had actual, like, poltergeist activity happen anymore. Actually, one other weird thing that did happen in that house was I have a blown glass little paperweight. Basically, my when my grandmother passed away, she loved blown glass. Elle was famous for it
mm-hmm.
here in Indiana. And I'm like, you know what? That'd be awesome to have her ashes put into this blown glass. So I did.
Oh,
made it to a blue heart. Mm-hmm. And basically inside the blown glass is her ashes, because it's just better than an urn. But she always had blown glass everywhere in her house. So I'm like, that'd be perfect to, you know, memorialize her.
Right.
And my wife was given a ring that she always wore. She was very close to my grandmother, and, you know, all the girls got something, and they ended up giving my wife one. And we kept it in a jewelry box, which was also given to me by my grandmother.
Okay.
And one day the ring came up missing. And of course my wife was distraught. You know, she thought somebody came in and stole it, you know. Hate to accuse people, but it was just, you know, a very valuable item, and we wanted to make sure, you know, we tried to find it first, and we couldn't find it anywhere. One day my wife was looking underneath her dresser, and somehow it got underneath there.
Oh,
it
wow.
was, and I don't understand how, but it was. And so we just chalked that up as, well, that's very, very strange, but she was very relieved we found it.
Mm-hmm.
Now fast forward to about, I'd say 2 months ago, the ring came up missing again. I have no idea how it became missing.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids don't go in there and mess with our rings or our jewelry. You know, my rings were all in there. Her other rings are all in there. It was mm-hmm. just that one ring. And it was missing for a couple of days because we were looking everywhere for it. And I come into my bedroom one day and I'm like, I need to know where this ring's at. And something was telling me, look underneath that dresser again.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I swept underneath there, and the second thing I swept up was that ring. And I have no idea how in the world it got underneath there. I don't know if it's just a practical joke my grandma was playing on me or what, but
okay.
That's the other bizarre thing I can think of that really happened.
I can't say that I'm a psychic, but I would suspect it probably has something to do with the little girl just liking that it's pretty and shiny, and perhaps would kept taking it out of there and then looking at it under the dresser. I don't know why that comes to me, but it comes to me.
I mean, you could be, possibly be right. I don't know. It was just a weird phenomenon because we're just like, we never get that ring out. Like, my wife don't wear it. It's too valuable to sure. us.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's a family heirloom. We don't, you know, she's not going to go out there and flaunt it, you right. know, especially because, you know, it, like I said, it was my grandmother. She just wants to be, make sure it's safe until my daughters get to age, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah. And that's, you know, like I said, that's something that's happened there. The other thing that kind of was the only other thing that kind of messed with me just a little bit recently, and this is about a year ago.
Okay.
I suffered from sleep paralysis, and that's just one of the worst feelings
it really is.
You can have. I mean, obviously, I think you just, I listened to a show you were just talking about today, and I mean, it really is. You feel so helpless whenever it's happening, and I don't know. I almost feel like sleep paralysis is almost like a somewhat out of body experience. It's almost the way I look at it.
Sure.
It's like you're halfway out of your body, halfway in your body.
Yeah.
Because when I'm in sleep paralysis, it's like I have a, it's like I'm looking at me in third person, but I'm not like out of bed, if that makes sense. Like I can, I can see my surroundings, like I'm sitting up, but I know I'm in a fetal position and I can't.
Wow.
And one of these days, or one of this last time that I suffered from it, at this point, my bed frame had broke, and we had our mattress on the ground, and my head was facing right where the door is, and the door was open.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I could see and the only thing I could feel was just this woman, black hair, dragging her body across the floor towards me.
Oh, geez. That's horrible.
You know, you just hear, and I could hear the breathing in my ear. I could hear it. I could feel it. I could still feel it right now. It's one of the scariest things I've ever dealt with. One of the scariest dreams. And I don't remember dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell you what I dreamed yesterday, the day before, whatever. I can remember this dream. That's it. Yeah. And I don't know if it was a dream.
Right.
And I just remember it finally getting to the point where it was in my ear, like about to just, I don't know, nibble on my ear. I don't know what she was doing.
Sure.
But I only remember waking up to my hand pounding to the side of my bed, like I was punching it.
Right.
Like I was going to knock it upside the head. And I just remember waking up and my hand hitting the floor.
Well, thank God. And that's it. Oh. So it's kind of the old hag, the traditional old hag situation you've been experiencing, which is real common in sleep paralysis. People having sometimes it's it looks like an old crone. Sometimes it looks like the kind of like the Samara from the Ring series, or, you know, but people talk about these weird entities that seem to be coming for them and they can't move and they're just trapped. And I thank God never experienced it quite like that. I experienced it feeling something there. Feeling something in the corner standing there looking at me, but not like coming at me. That, I think, would have been too much. I might have stroked out if that had happened to me, but man, oh, that sounds horrible.
It was, and it wasn't that, you know, if she would have came at me like fast, I think I would have been less scared. But it was because of the point that I was on the ground, you know, at the point I was on the ground.
Oh.
You know, sleeping on my mattress on the floor, you know, like I said, my bed frame was broke. And have it just crawl at me slowly, and I could just, like I said, it felt like I was in third person because I felt like I was sitting up and I could just see it coming around the corner. And like I said, it was one of the scariest things I've ever dealt with. I've told my wife about it, and thank God it's never happened since. Like, I don't know if it's just, like I said, I don't know if it's a health phenomenon with, you know, my whatever they say, you know, you're in the middle of REM sleep and, you know, your body, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Sure.
I honestly think there's more of a spiritual side to it. I really do. And I think it's how you handle it from there, whether you want to, you know, fight it. Because honestly, after that happened, you know, it makes you more, you know, aware, and it makes me, you know, like I said, I prayed about it and it stopped. And I believe that there you know, is a higher power. And I believe that that's what causes these things to stop. And the only thing that these shows have done for me, whether it be your show, you know, the confessionals, whatever, it's only helped my faith.
Good. Oh, because that's wonderful.
It really has, because you listen to the theories that come out of, you know, these shows and the way you guys talk about it. And, you know, especially like, you know, I hate to keep bringing it up, but, you know, Tony's a Christian, and I don't know your view. I don't think you've expressed it, but, you know, whenever I hear people like that, that are that in depth into the supernatural, and, you know, and they can basically show you biblical points of view that make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That helps. Absolutely. It really does.
Absolutely. The faith is such a powerful thing, and it truly does work. And a lot of people, like, just going back to sleep paralysis, a lot of people have been able to successfully break it. And when it's happening, by invoking the name of Jesus, you know, in a basically a command, like, you know, in the name of Jesus, you must release me, and boom, they'll be released. And it really is testament to that power, and that, and what invoking that power can do to help, because it's such a helpless condition. And it's horrible. It's like being the fly in the web, so to speak. So, I'm absolutely thrilled that you were able to, you know, pray it away, for lack of a better term. But I think that speaks a lot to your faith. And I really think that that's key, because if, you know, there's lots of fair weather religious people, you know, they attend church and then they just are the same people they want to be anyway. But they feel that they're attending church. Well, for them to say, well, in Jesus' name, I tell you to get away, it may not be quite as potent. But to somebody right. that really, you know, observes and practices their faith in their life and through the course of their day, that will become incredibly powerful, you know?
Yeah, I always joked. I joked around with my pastor one time. We were at his house, and the paranormal got brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of laughed at it because he was talking about demonic possession. I was like, you ever notice how it's always a Catholic? I'm like, you never see a Baptist getting demonic possessed. Yeah, I always just laughed. I mean, he laughed about it pretty good. I'm just like, I mean, it's just honest. I mean, you always see a Catholic, you know, getting demonic possessed. I'm just like, maybe they don't, you know.
Maybe they're doing something wrong.
I guess.
No.
That's just, you know, poking fun at the Catholics. But, I mean,
right. It is
cool. Yeah, I mean, I thought that.
And I think that also, you know, those in terms of faith, I think that, you know, I have an open mind about the whole thing. But I know that as long as the person is devout, and as long as they are invested on a spiritual, you know, emotional and moral scope to their faith, then it becomes incredibly potent and powerful. And I can't say that this is only true for Christians. I've heard of, you know, many people observing other religions invoking symbolic things from their religions and having very powerful reactions as well. Whether it's Hindu, whether it's Buddhist, whether it's Muslim or Christian or whatever. But so it does seem to be that there is a covenant that is formed between the divine and the believer through the course of and faithful observation of that faith. And I think it's a wonderful, beautiful thing. And I don't personally advocate one over the other. I think that everybody has to find the path that fits for them in a spiritual way. But I think that it's a beautiful thing, and it is powerful, and it is a protection. And the more people know that, the better they'll be prepared to deal with these kind of things should they happen.
Well, I think the important thing too, along with, you know, if you want to call it religion or just what you believe, I believe us as living beings, we have more powerful than the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have power, especially in this world. You know, we're living in the reality of, you know, what's going on now. You know, they may have more powerful in their realm.
Sure.
And I believe there are different realms. You know, I've been taught that. My mother taught me that. You know, mm-hmm. She's like, never mess with the spiritual world. You know, it's real. It's out there. And I'm like, yeah. And now I definitely, you know, obviously believe her.
Sure.
But as long as people understand that, you know, you have more power in this world, I as long as you go in with confidence,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can probably pray to whatever you want. And, you know, these beings are going to understand they're not going to be able to, you know, oppress you anymore.
Right.
And yep. I think that's what it really comes down to. You got to show them that, you know, you don't have power here. I do. And
it is, it is a curious thing, though, that there does seem to be some of these entities do seem to need to prey upon the living. And I'm not sure what the condition of their situation is that they need to draw from the people that are incarnate. And but it's really disturbing, and a really disturbing thought that for some of them, we are nothing more than a battery, so to speak in like the Matrix terms, you know, that they can come and draw from us and to sustain themselves or maybe even to empower themselves. I don't know to what end, but it's certainly a disturbing idea, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with that. I mean, I don't understand the ins and outs. I don't know, you know, what the difference between a ghost, a demon, you know, an angel, you know.
Sure.
The Bible, you know, my belief system really don't explain it too well. And it might be a question I have to, you know, ask whenever I go into that world. Maybe I'll get the answers I want. I don't know. Sure. Maybe I don't want to know the answers. But the point, you know, like I said, if I can get anything out of this conversation, is to let people know that, you know, if you're going through something or you're dealing with something, there's all sorts of ways out of that situation. You know, you just got to, like I said, you got to show your power that you have inside you to show that you have dominion over mm-hmm. your house, your body, your kids, you know, and let these things know that they can't hurt you and they won't harm you. I mean, as long as you show them that, I mean, they won't harm you. I've never been, like I said, dealt with anything that's ever wanted to harm me, in my opinion, but
yeah,
I can only speak from my own, you know, personal,
no,
things that have happened.
Yeah,
to me,
exactly.
So.
And I think in most cases you're absolutely right. I've heard of people being thrown around, but I can't speak to what happened before then, because I think that there might be, and this may sound bizarre, but I think that there might be some kind of rules that are in play, and I don't understand the specifics of it, but it seems that if you directly challenge them, then all bets are off. But up until that point, they're not going to just be able to come out of nowhere and just start brutalizing you. But it almost seems like, you know, once you say, well, come on, take me on, you know, then it's like, okay, game on. Now we're in a different field of play for some reason. And I can't say I understand it, but it does come up where some people do get thrown around. They do get choked. They do get, you know, beat on by some unseen force. And it's a very curious thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I just think it's because people open up that door.
Yeah.
I mean, if you open up that door, and I don't think the veil is hard to open.
Right.
Especially between our worlds. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's as simple as working on a Ouija board, or as simple as, you know, just trying to talk to someone and ain't there. I mean, you can honestly invoke a spirit in just about any way. I don't think you need a Ouija board. I don't think you need anything. You know, you can have a satanic Bible and do it. You know, it's just, yep. There's many, many ways of doing it. And I just don't think that people realize that it is that easy to bring a spirit out. And yeah, if you're asking for it, and I honestly think sometimes drugs are a part of that, you know.
Sure.
Look at back in the days. I mean, they used drugs to enter the spirit world. And I mean, right, what's the difference to today?
True. Very true. And so, when drugs became recreational, you're right. In the old ways, the pharmacology and stuff like that was more used for ritualistic purposes. But then it just became, you know, I need to escape my world. I'm going to go get this drug and take it and go gel. And you're right. It does put you in a different vibration, I think. And that, of course, would be a liability if there's something nefarious around.
Yeah. And I mean, I just think that that's a lot to have to do with a lot of possessions or a lot of, mm-hmm, you know, bad hauntings or poltergeist activity. I think that a lot of it has to do with just, you know, just people making dumb decisions, like, you know, we did, you know, we went out poking them. I mean, it could be as simple as that. And I think that, you know, if people are just more aware of that, and if honestly they want to call upon those spirits, just be ready.
Be ready.
They're listening.
Be careful what you wish for. Yeah. Don't poke the bears. Yeah, exactly. Well, Robert, I think it's been absolutely brilliant, brother, and thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing what you've experienced. And the door is always open. If you go, oh man, I should have told him about this, just let me know, man. I'd love to have you back and discuss more of this.
Oh, no problem. Like I said, I mean, I think you do live shows. I mean, I can, yes, always try contacting you that way, or
absolutely,
you know, some of that, you know, But like I said, I appreciate being on here. I'm a little nervous still, but like I said, I appreciate it because I love this show. I love, you know, all these paranormal shows. Like I said, it is almost like a therapy to listen to these stories being told, because I mean, you can listen to it on TV. That's one thing, but right. You know, I guess it's easy to stage it on a podcast, but honestly, I feel like I'm listening to real people.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, someone with a producer in their ear telling them what to say.
Right.
And so
I'll guarantee you that's what you're getting from the portal anyway. And I know the confessionals is the same way. I mean, Tony's a great guy and he does a brilliant show as well. And he's not, it would be very easy for any of us to just sensationalize this and get to some shenanigans. But I know that, I know I have integrity, and I know Tony does too, and so does Wes and several other shows. So there's a lot of good ones out there, but there are some bad ones. But you know, we'll always be happy to hear from you, brother. If you got anything more you want to share, I'd love to have you back.
Yeah, I might have a couple more stories here and there, but I think most of the ones that I think need to get out there are out there. And like I said, I'd love to be on like one of your live shows sometime. You know, or another. I might even listen in tonight if it's on. So,
yep, the call in board will be open. So, yeah, by all means, brother, call in and we'd love to hear from you there.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call and I appreciate the time. Like I said, I hope this helps somebody. So,
it will, brother. It already helped me. I mean, I've learned a lot just listening to you as well. So, thank you for sharing all of this and thanks for your faith in me to be the messenger to bring it to the world. So, I hope you have a wonderful day and thank you again for making the time to be here right now. I know it's been kind of a juggling match to get our schedules lined up, but, it was really worth the wait for me. So thanks again, brother.
Oh, not a problem. You have a good night too.
All right. Take care, Robert. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys liked it as much as I did. That was just an epic journey through Robert's experiences and getting into some of the ideas and perhaps causations behind what's been going on for him and his family. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.